Welcome to our Holden Village podcast. For over 50 years now, Holden Village has traveled a rich history of faith that has transformed a copper mining town into a vibrant place of education, programming, and worship. Holden has sought to welcome all who seek contemplation and community in the remote wilderness of the beautiful Cascade Mountains. We continue to invite people of all ages to come alongside our rhythms, which inspire and equip travelers for a sustainable life of faith outside the village. And we continue to listen and reflect on our story and history and seek to discover our place in God's creative mission in our world. Our podcasts are a way of sharing our conversations with our teaching faculty around reformation, the reforming of our relationships with the earth, with each other, and with the divine. Let's tune in and join the conversation.
I'm Eric Eitrum. I am an assistant professor at the University of Central Oklahoma. I've been there 2 years now. Prior to this, I got my PhD at the University of Iowa in a weird subtopic called radiochemistry. I had someone ask me, AM/FM chemistry doesn't mean that. It's talking about nuclear chemistry, really. So it's kind of a different sort of topic that you might not have heard as much about in the past. Before that, I was at Luther College, and that was actually how I got my introduction to Holden Village. Over the J term of 2010, I took an environmental ethics course here in Holden Village. And that's actually where I met my wife, Sarah. We're excited to be back. So nuclear chemistry also has a lot of issues associated with scientific literacy around it, since there's not a lot of exposure that people have to that particular topic. So sometimes it's kind of hard to represent that topic appropriately to people who haven't learned about it in the past. So what I started talking about was just generally scientific literacy in the U.S., and at first glance, it seems like scientific literacy in the U.S. is a huge problem. For example, 63% of people correctly identify that the tilt of the Earth's axis in relation to the sun is actually what causes the seasons. So that's kind of scary if only 63% can correctly identify that. So this is kind of the scientific content that people need to know, and I call that content literacy. These are kind of the building blocks, that basic sort of information needed to talk somewhat intelligently about scientific topics. And what I find is generally with radioactivity, people know very, very little about radioactivity. For example, is all radioactivity human produced, true or false? A lot of people will incorrectly say that it is all produced by humans, where there is naturally occurring radioactive materials, what we call NORM. And generally though, this literacy has improved over time, which is good. And we are similar to other industrialized nations, so it's not too much of a concern, but generally we like that it's increasing over time. And again, this will help them use terminology when they're reading about, let's say, something associated with radioactivity in the news. Now they're able to actually correctly identify some topics associated with radioactivity. The U.S. is really good about a lot of those topics, or at least similarly as good as tilt of the earth sort of concepts, but there are a few key topics that we really do lag behind the rest of the world in. A few that you might be somewhat aware of: evolution, the universe began with a huge explosion, the Big Bang, or anthropogenic global climate change. So global climate change caused by humans. It seems like Americans are less scientifically literate in those categories. And by scientifically literate, I mean they're more likely to disagree with the correct statement associated with those topics than other similar nations like, let's say, Canada or South Korea or places like that. I call these culturally contested facts. And it seems like there's other driving forces to that, not just scientific literacy. Why would we have those particular topics that we don't know that much about as opposed to other topics? So what is special about these particular topics? And it turns out there's other driving forces, being political and religious affiliations potentially. It turns out these kind of cultural and self-identities are a lens for new information. So if you have new information that's coming in about global climate change, you end up viewing that information based on a political or religious affiliation potentially that can lead you to discredit that new information or accept that new information, kind of depending on if it agrees with what you've believed in the past. This is called confirmation bias. Everyone does it. It seems like there's a few topics in particular, however, that we're even more accustomed to doing this. It seems to be because those are identities that we hold a little closer to ourselves. We identify more with some of those identities than whether or not there's an ozone hole over Antarctica, right? That wasn't really a culturally contested fact. People agreed on that right away. There wasn't really any issues surrounding that. But for some reason, we have evolution, anthropogenic global climate change, other sorts of topics like universe beginning with a huge explosion that for some reason, we as Americans are more resistant to accepting as true. So generally, if I would like to change someone's mind about something, say one of these culturally contested facts, I would hope that some cold hard facts, evidence, things along those lines would convince someone of what we believe to be true in a science field. There's one huge issue with that, however, is it just doesn't work. It's almost like there's this fight or flight instinct associated with that new information. So like I said, if there's new information that comes in, either you can pretty easily dismiss it if it challenges your previously held ideology, and that's kind of the flight, or you fight it where you kind of come up with all the reasons why that could be incorrect. And it turns out that that actually can reinforce your previously held belief. This is called the backfire effect, and it's terrifying to me because what it means is if you confront someone with a fact, there's actually a chance that they dig their heels in more with the incorrect statement. So if we're trying to convince someone, let's say, of anthropogenic global climate change, it is not helpful generally to beat the traditional drum of, well, 97% of scientists agree, blah, blah, blah. It turns out that that's really off-putting and actually can make things worse. It causes more of a divide. It's kind of outlining the reasons in which you two are different, right? As opposed to trying to bridge that, what I would call scientific literacy gap between these two different ideologies. So one of the best things to do about it, for one, we need to bring awareness to these cognitive biases that we have associated with closely held prior beliefs. So if people know about confirmation bias and this backfire effect, hopefully when they're experiencing that, maybe they'll be able to identify it and say, did I really give that new information a fair shake? Or am I dismissing it simply because of prior held information? Of course, that's not always gonna work, but it is one thing that may help in the future. Luckily, one thing with the backfire effect is that it doesn't happen all the time. It's not that we're always resistant to new information. It really seems to be unique to these specific topics that we do hold closer to our self-identity. So I mean, that might be a caution for some of us, is thinking about what are some of these topics that we might hold near and dear to our self-identity, which kind of brings us to another way in which you can maybe kind of try and combat this backfire effect. You can ask someone, including yourself, what sort of information would actually change my mind about that topic. If the answer is nothing, that's a big red flag. You got to make sure that it's not nothing. It can't be nothing. It has to be something that would change your mind about it. So that's another sort of trick that you can use to try and see if you are actually subject to this kind of confirmation bias or backfire effect about a particular ideology that you hold, or ask someone else what sort of information would they need for them to change their mind about, let's say, global climate change or something like that. Another way is to not start with the cold hard facts, not start with those conclusions. Try and get some understanding of how these conclusions were made, take them through the process, typically the scientific process, instead of just skipping to the summary of the results, taking them through the sorts of questioning that has happened in the past, what sort of methods have been applied to try and attain that sort of information. Has it been done over the short term or the long term? How many independent observers of this have occurred? Hopefully that will be more convincing than just a one sentence summary of the conclusion. Of course, but that's the facts. You're so often trained to just spit out the fact, even though as we're learning, there's a chance that that's actually doing more harm than good. One last little trick that you can use is you can convince your own mind or your friends that your prior decision or prior belief was right, given the information that you knew previously. But now that you've learned new underlying facts and the facts have changed, potentially your mind can and should change also. So that also is maybe another tactic that you can use even on yourself to try and convince yourself, okay, well, it's not that I'm an idiot, right? I didn't know all the facts previously. Now I've learned a few new facts, so now I can change my mind about that topic. One great way to also combat some of this is to not squash scientific curiosity. So it turns out kids are scientifically curious. They ask lots of questions, and we should do our best to foster that. It turns out people who are partisan that are curious are much more likely to accept new information. And that's very important if we're trying to change people's minds and come to a consensus so then we can act on it. If people are willing to, with new information, change their mind. And that would hopefully be something that would aid in combating these culturally contested facts. there is one way that to really make the backfire effect way worse, and that's by belittling or mocking or something along those lines. And I think we're familiar with seeing that sort of rhetoric, and it's really, really damaging. Again, it's something that will outline the differences between two groups, and you're equating their understanding with something that's more derogatory, like, oh, you're an idiot, or something like that. And that is exclusively not helpful. It is hurtful. It's making things worse, and we shouldn't be doing that. Even if it's challenging not to, or sometimes you really do feel like they're not thinking clearly about a particular topic, you really have to avoid treating them disrespectfully. You really need to engage in a positive light as best you can, not with this paternalistic sort of mentality where I'm going to teach you. Because again, the biggest problem with that, besides just being disrespectful, is that it doesn't work. These other techniques, hopefully, they're not always going to work, but they're better alternatives to what I think the traditional dialogue will look like. And yeah, you can maybe even think back to some scenarios where you've had something like this occur, and how did you handle it? Was it effective? Wasn't it effective? And if it wasn't, do you think utilizing some of these techniques might actually be more helpful in the future and not even jeopardize a relationship or something along those lines? Another common sentiment that I get is that these culturally contested facts are equated with science denial, and we hear about science denialism. And generally, I don't really think that science denial is actually as big of a deal as we make it out to be, because when we talk about science denial, we're seeming to indicate that someone's denying all of science. It's the entire scientific process, it's all of the conclusions associated with science. But generally, someone who believes one of these culturally contested facts, an important caveat to that is that they believe that science is on their side. They actually believe that science is an advocate for what they're talking about. That's not denying of science in that traditional sense. So just being careful with the way we talk about science denial, I think it's degrading what's actually going on with someone who might hold a culturally contested fact as true. If this was just science denial, you wouldn't see a big differentiation between us and potentially other nations on just a few categories as opposed to all the categories. If we were really a science denial as a nation, we would see lack of literacy in lots of science topics, not just seemingly a few of them. So they do believe that science is on their side, but it seems like that is resulting probably from some of these biases that we've talked about. And generally, the public does have a trust in science. So again, there's not really that large-scale science denial that sometimes I hear people talking about. Certainly, it happens, but not maybe on the scale that we would like to think. There's something more subtle going on there besides just a blatant disrespect for science. It's more nuanced than that. I think this even gets more complicated when it comes to public understanding of science because of the information age. And now, not only is there content, but now it's hard to really distinguish what is a reputable scientific fact versus some other sort of non-reputable source. So also there's a lot of competency associated with, I would call it information literacy, where kind of identifying valid sources, valid methods, valid conclusions versus something that's not quite as valid. And that adds a whole new level of complexity when it comes to this sort of trying to acquire some sort of scientific knowledge or scientific literacy. What's important about this is that they do need some of that content knowledge first, however, right? They need to have the terminology to talk about this stuff before they're ever going to even get to the point of information literacy. So it really does start with that beginning content knowledge, that we do need some of that first before we can talk more intensely about the nuances of these. And one of the problems can be that media can sensationalize particular topics, especially ones that are not well understood by the public. And now all of a sudden you can get some misinformation that's being perpetuated that can kind of be the starter for even some of these culturally contested facts. So one area that is not immune to this at all is, like what I've talked about, is radioactivity. Likewise, energy production techniques, including hydraulic fracturing, fracking. So since not all Americans know that radioactivity is not all man-made, it makes it very challenging to fairly and accurately represent research that I've done in the areas of dealing with radioactivity. One of those areas being quantifying radioactivity in wastes associated with hydraulic fracturing. We want to educate people about what sort of radioactive wastes are being produced. These are naturally occurring radioactive materials that are being produced from hydraulic fracturing, but being able to represent it fairly and accurately represents a huge challenge if the general population doesn't have a good understanding of hydraulic fracturing or radioactivity. You mix those together, and they're highly politicized, and it turns into a nightmare. Another energy production technique that is being talked about now as well is nuclear power. And to the same extent, nuclear power also doesn't do well in terms of public understanding of what the dangers of radioactivity are or in fact are not. Depending on the situation, the dangers can be over-politicized or under-politicized and under-reported or over-reported. And this becomes really challenging to fairly assess energy production techniques like hydraulic fracturing, like nuclear power, in a fair and accurate way. And this matters because this potentially changes the course of action that we choose as a nation or internationally for the sorts of energy production techniques that we decide to utilize. And if this is coming from some lack of understanding inherently about some of these topics, the chance for misstep is much higher. That being said, again, scientific literacy isn't a magic bullet. I would love if it is, as a science educator, for it to be this magic bullet, but there are other issues that are going on here that are more complex than just teaching people more about science. I don't think that that will actually help these culturally contested facts as much as we would hope. But potentially utilizing some of those techniques that I talked about previously, when confronted with some of these culturally contested facts, perhaps those would do more if, as a culture, we were able to respectfully talk to each other about these topics. Maybe that would do more than actually content literacy within scientific fields. Not saying that that's not important, but for some of these big topics that of course are taking the national stage, like global climate change, potentially utilizing other techniques like I had talked about are going to be more important than just classroom learning of scientific concepts.
Thanks for joining us for another Holden Village podcast. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information, or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.